The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift your hands, Father. We thank you. We love you this morning. The entrance of your word gives life and understanding to the simple. We come with simple hearts and we are blessed. We are changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Did you listen to those testimonies this morning? Very, very powerful, amazing testimonies this morning. God is working in our midst. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's changing us, He's blessing us, and He's working mightily amongst us. Glory to God. You know, the testimony about the guy that got a job, such an amazing testimony. And so amazing when you look at where the person is coming from earning 10,000 naira every month to earning $150 every month, just in raise of fact. So God is faithful, and God can change your story. I say God can change your story. The word of God is working. Are you getting the point? The word of God is working. God is going to give you all you need. Amen. This year is just getting started. April is going to be an avalanche of testimonies. That's what the Lord said to me. We will recount testimonies upon testimonies. Your own must be there. You will share your own testimonial. You will not only be a listener, you will also share. I mean, your house is here in April. Your job is here in April. Your spouse is here in April. Hallelujah. Your car is here in April. Properties are here in April. Glory to God. Whatever you're expecting is here in April. Your baby is here in April. Your needs are met in April. Excellent results in April. First class results in April. Missing scripts found in April. God changing your family story in April. An avalanche of testimonies has come for you in the name of Jesus. Every Sunday we'll recount again and again the goodness of the Lord. Our Lord is good and His mercies endure forever. Glory to God. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Let's get right into the word. I just want to share a few things with you. It's Easter Sunday and I've said a lot already. If this meeting did not bless you, you were not destined to be blessed. I'm telling you. Such an amazing weekend we've had. You know, the things I shared with you this weekend are not things you've learned. You have to go and listen to them again. What I meant is I said you did not hear. I get to the point. It's when you listen to them again. Because what was happening to some of you, Pastor will explain to a point you will not understand. Then you say, leave that one for now. Let's hear the next thing he's going to say. So you have to go listen to it again until it sinks. The plan of God is to take you back to what His plan has always been. He's taking you back to His original plan. Hallelujah. So Eden is God's original plan. I get the point. That is His plan. And that's what He's going to do for you and do through you. Amen. So let's get set. So today, I'll just try to instruct you like I always do when we are bringing our meetings to a close. You see, a meeting has not blessed you fully if you do not have instructions you are going home with. It is instructions you are taking home from a meeting that will determine whether that meeting has blessed you. We can all shout in this place, you see, and get excited. But then we might not have gotten the best from the meeting. Are you following me? Until we take instructions home, abide by those instructions, and leave them out. That's God's plan for you. That you follow the instructions found in God's word. Because you realize every prophetic word, you know, someone sent me a mail yesterday I've not even replied that. I just remember I've not replied that mail. It was talking about a prophet, a word of knowledge I gave yesterday that was about him and his family. And I like the question he asked in the mail. He said, is there any instruction I have to obey to ensure that this doesn't happen? You know, or to ensure that this happens. That's the right way to react to prophetic words. You don't just get excited. You don't just come to church and say, man, pastor was hitting us back to back, bass boats with revelation. And then you go home and then the whole, you just have is excitement. There is a lot more God wants to do for you than getting you excited. And it is in instructions that you find, you see, the fullness of what God wants to give you. So let me just give you some instructions this morning, but let's start with Genesis 2 verse 15. Okay, that we've already studied, so I'll just refresh your mind on that. Okay, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I showed you that God was not planning for Adam to become a farmer. This wasn't farming. This wasn't agriculture. There is no detailed teacher of the word you read on this. Because even, funny enough, even yesterday I went home, I just glanced through a book. Amazingly, I glanced through a book written by Kenneth Copeland yesterday. And then he was talking about this verse too. And was still explaining. And you know, he said, that's how he put it, that God did not plan man to be rooting out weeds. He said, because then there were no weeds at all. Because, so you get the point. I went to the same word we saw it on Friday. Abad, remember? And Shama, which means to dress and to keep. Now, Abad and Shama is not to be, to farm. It means to serve. So God put man in the garden to serve him and to worship him. That's, and we saw that that is all God wanted man to do. So you notice that in Genesis 2 verse 9, God told man to eat of the tree of life. And we've explained what that means. That is to believe. Okay? He gave him the tree of life to believe in him. In Genesis 2:15, God told man to dress and keep the garden, which means to serve and worship him. So what is the duty God expects of man? Number one, faith in Christ Jesus, which if you are born again, you've already done. If you're not born again, you've not even stepped into the first of God's plan for your life. The primary purpose God created you is so that you can have faith in him. Now, the second of God's plan for your life, which is what you should do all your life, is to now dress and keep the garden. To dress and keep the garden. In other words, to serve him and to worship him. To serve him and to listen to him, to follow him. So serving God is what God intended for everyone. That's why I always say to you, when we talk about ministry, ministry is not for the old, it's not for the young, it's not for the called, it's for everybody. From the young set, God created man way before the fall. God already said, I want you to serve me in this garden and I want you to worship me. Way before the fall. See, it wasn't even the fall that necessitated, that brought the need for ministry. Before man ever fell, God planned that man will serve him. And that's why I'm going to say this to you. That if you are not burning your life out in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are not functioning as God planned that you function. And people know my ministry for one, you know. Say, pastor always talks about doing ministry, serving God, being serious with God. Well, that is actually true. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. It's not because I like talking about it. It's actually the truth of God's word. If you are not burning your life in serving God, you can achieve every other thing, but all those things will go to waste. If you analyze everything I shared with you this weekend, you will realize that there is nothing more you can do on earth that will be more profitable than serving God. Because even if you look at what I was sharing with you yesterday morning, the fact that there is a life after now, think about this. All the things you are going to acquire in this world, all the money you will make, will they count in eternity? They won't. They won't. Your money can only count in eternity. That's what Paul was teaching Timothy, that your money can count in eternity if you used it well on earth. Do you remember that? Your money can count in eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, 18, 19. He said, verse 18, he said, 17 said, charge the rich in this world. He was talking to the rich. Verse 18, he said, that they be rich in good works, that they be willing to, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, they should be giving. Now, what will they profit from that? That laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. So it is how you use your money on earth today that will determine whether it will count in the world to come. And so it is not having money. It is using money right. Are you following what I'm talking about? That's why I will say it all the time, that the rich in God's kingdom is not the one that has the biggest account. It's the one that is most generous. Wealth in the kingdom is not measured by possession. It's measured by generosity. And that's the truth. Are you getting what I'm talking about? By generosity. Well, I'm saying all this to say, you must use your all to serve Jesus. You know, we saw that Genesis yesterday, chapter 1 and verse 28, put it up with the Amplified Classic Version. You see the plan of God. I was talking about wealth owning the earth yesterday. But look at it. He said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Now look at that. Using all its vast resources in what? In the service of God and man. So the major reason God will even give you resources so that you can use it to serve him. And so if there is anything you have, any resource, call it money, call it talent, call it skill, call it intelligence, IQ, whatever, and you are not deploying it in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are wasting that ability. And you are not following God's plan. Look at that. God wants you to use all the vast resources of the earth in the service of God and man. So any resource I have, and I'm not yet using it to serve God, it's useless. I'm going to tell you this, friends. Any achievement, I said it yesterday and 2 days ago, any achievement, any milestone you cross in life, and or any achievement you have or you make, and you did not use that achievement, it didn't contribute anything to the service of God, you see, you don't need that thing. Let me say it another way. Anything that will take you away from serving Jesus is something that you don't need. You don't need it. I said anything, no matter. Even if it is money. As a matter of fact, money shouldn't take you away from serving Jesus. But I'm saying if your own money will take you away from serving Jesus, may you not have it. Yes. Even if it is marriage, as beautiful as marriage is, if it will take you away, so there are young girls you see burning for the Lord, carrying church on their head, immediately they get married, it looks like they were serving God all the while just to marry. And I said, why were we not in church? He said, you know, my boo and I, we couldn't make it. That's a marriage she doesn't need. It is better she would have remained single. Some other people, when they are broke, when they don't have anything, you see them all over church, cleaning, doing things, carrying church on their head. Once they can be able to afford some few millions, you just see them, attitude changes. You say, ah, come and carry speaker. You say, millionaire, carry speaker. Let's pay people to do it for us. Come on. You know, a certain vice chancellor, you know, of a university, that's UNN here, you know, one of the things people were saying about the wife then, the one who were growing up, he was a vice chancellor and the wife was there. And they said in their church, you know, in all these other churches, every Saturday they come for church cleanup. Say she never missed it once. Throughout that. But that's a wife of evangelist. Every Saturday, 7 a.m., she's in church with her broom and her mop and bucket cleaning church. Now, if you become big and you can no longer serve God, you don't need to be big. You need to remain small. It means being big is not good for you. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's not good for you. So your company grows and then maybe becomes as big as whatever company you are envying today. Google or what have you. And then you now come, George, first of all, you want us to give you front seats. That will not even happen. Or you want us to somehow exempt you from evangelism. Because come on now. And I was listening to Dr. Paul Enenche some time ago talk about this stuff. He was talking, he put the post is on Instagram handle. I was saying, he said, today, he said, where are, he said, why is it that when you come to church, it's only young people you see playing drums, playing keyboards, singing in the choir? Because the other people, once they feel they've achieved one or two, they can no longer sing in the choir. So how can a billionaire like me go for night rehearsal and be singing unto the Lord? The problem is, you are a billionaire in your pocket. Now, your $1 billion or $30 billion is not up to 0.000001% of the resources that God has. So you are doing big boy for a man That is where, you know, even when you are rich on earth, there are some rich people you see. You yourself will calm down. You know, you might be just bragging that I have 1.5 million naira. You know, just talking, you say, what is money? Let us spend the money here. And you're just talking like that. And then suddenly, the person walking past you is paying your $10. And then you find yourself bowing down and carrying, or maybe, you know, even a $10 knows there is a remorse. You get the point? You know, the man knows. And so when you come before the man who owns you and owns everything you can ever have, there's nothing to be proud about, sir. Calm down. That's why I tell people, as you're walking into church, everything you are, everything you've achieved, keep it at the door. When you're going back, pick it up. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let your children grow up knowing that my father is very wealthy, because you will be. That my father is very wealthy, yet that man doesn't miss midweek service. That man doesn't miss morning prayers. That man is always reaching out. That man is always serving in church. Let it be the testimony they will have of you. Don't be the kind of father that the children celebrate the day he goes to church. Your own job is to drive your kids and your wife to church, and then you go home. Such a useless father. You're not fit to be a father. That's the truth. You say why? Because a father is meant to be a leader. And leadership is not pointing the way. It's leading the way. It's not telling people that's the way to go. It's actually going and they follow you. And that's why I say, young person here, you're already choosing when to go to church. You're already choosing how to serve God carelessly. That's already a testament to the kind of family you're going to raise tomorrow. I'm challenging you to serve the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 tells us this is the conclusion. And if I don't know if you are here on Friday, but I took time to show you why we should take Solomon seriously. Because Solomon is a man who had seen everything. He was very wealthy in his own days. In fact, if you calculate the wealth of Solomon, even the richest men on earth today have not hit Solomon's wealth. I'm telling you. The man had gold. You know the most valuable assets today? After real estate, I think it should be gold now. But the man had all. The nations of the earth, we are paying tributes to Solomon. All of them. Everyone was paying tribute so that you don't get to fight with him. Nations of the earth were coming to pay tribute to him. Gold was so common in Israel. The man built a temple, a full temple with gold. I think the way he was mixing cement and block, the man used gold. Are you know what I'm talking about? From beginning to end, he had it all. He had women, 1,000 of them. I know what I'm saying. Glory to God. He had everything. He had power. He was the king of Israel. Think of anything. And after the whole thing, he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. After analyzing my life and living on my life, this is my conclusion. Fear God. Keep his commandment. That word keep is that same word we were studying that day. Shama, to serve. Keep his commandment, to attend to. Keep his commandment. He now said, this is the whole duty of man. He didn't say, this is the whole duty of pastors. Or this is the whole duty of ministers. This is the whole duty of man. That you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You know, it was Solomon that said earlier, he said, remember the Lord. I think that was one of these. He said, in the days of your youth. Because he knows what he's saying. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. No, the years draw nigh. When thou shalt have no patience with them, say, when you are young, that's when to actually remember the Lord and carry him in your head. And I tell you why, because any habit you formed as a young man will follow you when you are old. So if you remember the Lord when you are young, you will serve him when you are old. It's no longer be a struggle. The toughest time there is to build any habits is as you are getting older. It's easier to build habits when you are young, or to form habits when you are young. So, form a habit of serving the Lord. Serve the Lord. Fear God. Keep his commandment. That is the whole duty of man. The original says that is the whole of man. That's the whole essence of existence. Amplified Classic of that, Ecclesiastes 12:13, at the time, even said that is actually how to harmonize, say, the adjustment of to all inharmonious circumstances. Everything that is not working well. Solomon is saying how to adjust it and make it work. Follow that principle. Fear God. Keep his commandments. What he's saying is, if you walk with God, things will work well. This is the root of character. You want to build solid character. Fear God, keep his commandment. That's the foundation of all happiness. You want to experience happiness? Fear God. Serve the Lord with everything in you. Are you following me? That is what God intended for you to do from the onset. So as you're returning home from this meeting, as some of you that are in Enugu here, maybe this is your first time of joining us, I want to say welcome. But what I'm sharing with you is what we stand for. That a man should burn his life out serving the Lord while he succeeds in his career and every other pursuit he has in life. But you should serve the Lord. And I'm trusting the Lord that as you're burning your life out to serve him, that he's going to make you big. So that people will realize that it's not because you are small that you are serving him. I get what I'm saying. And that's what I'm going to say to some of you that began to serve the Lord early in your life. Don't stop. If you stop at a time, they will feel, it will look like you just served God because you are having youthful exuberance. You have to prove to people and show them that I'm not just, it's not juvenile delinquency or whatever. I'm serving the Lord because this is my entire life. It's my entire life. So this is the whole of man. That's the foundation of all happiness. That's the original purpose of his creation. So the original reason God created you so that you can serve him. So ministry simply means to serve. To serve the Lord in whatever capacity. Whatever he will have you do. We read 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15 about the household of Stephanas. How the Bible said they had addicted themselves to the service of the saints. To the ministry of the saints. They had addicted themselves. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. So there is an addiction everybody must have. That addiction is to addict yourself to serving the saints. To addict yourself. Now hear what I'm going to say. Being a believer does not mean you are serving God. Being a believer is one thing. Serving God is another thing. So you can be a believer who is not serving God. Because when people hear serve God, they think it means believe in God. No. You can believe in Jesus, be born again, but you're not serving him. In fact, you can believe in Jesus, be born again, pray every day, read your Bible every day, have a solid, a good Christian life, in quotes, but yet you're not serving God. Until you are doing something, okay, it towards man. Hear this. In the name of God, maybe you are preaching to sinners, or you are serving in church. For me, I'm serving as a pastor, or you are serving as a minister, or you are serving as an usher, or you are serving in the technical team. Now, serving God is doing something in the name of God towards man. Do you understand what I explain to you now? Because you're a prayer warrior, doesn't mean you're serving God, except you are using that prayer to reach people. You are praying for people. That's serving God. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's not just believe in God. Believe in Jesus, yes. But the real service of God is that there is something you are doing in your walk with God to help other believers or to help sinners. To help sinners know the Lord or to help believers get stronger with him. Are you following what I'm talking about this morning? That's serving God. So that's why we say things like, if you are an usher in church, you're serving God. Why? In ushering, you are helping people focus in church so they can get blessed and grow. That's service. If you're in a choir, the same thing. If you're in a welfare team, the same thing. If you're in a technical unit, the same thing. If you're preaching the gospel, the same thing. If you're in the media department, the same thing. The media team are the people making sure now that people following us online from all over the world are getting blessed today. And don't think they're not serving God. They're doing it in the name of God for the propagation of the gospel. That's what it means to serve God. So you are winning souls. That's reaching out to sinners. And then you are doing something, whatever God will have you do, to serve the saints. So if what he wants you to do is to preach, pastor says, you are now the cell leader to preach here. That's serving God. Or you are not cell leader. They now say, join this department. That is serving God. Make sure that you are burning out your life to serve God. Make sure. And that you are getting better at it. And you are going harder with it. Are you following me? Because that's all God wants you to do. So being born again and serving God, that's why we say it, giving can also be a form of service to God. When you give for the propagation of the gospel, you're serving God with your money. I get the point.
You can serve God with your strength. Maybe you have strength and then you want to do something in church, and because you have strength, you are using it. You're serving God. You have a skill that can do this or do that, and you say, I'm going to deploy to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ministry. Hear this. There are things you can, I've explained this many times. There are things you can do. Let me say it this way. You can do the same activity in two different places, and at one time it is ministry, at another time it is not. For instance, playing the keyboard. You can play keyboard as a career, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can play it at, let me say something. You can play it at a burial ceremony. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not serving God. And if you want to charge them, it's okay to charge them. You get what I'm saying? But then, if you are playing it, that same keyboard, you play it in church for the service of God, is now called ministry. And that's why I'm going to encourage many of you here, instrumentalists, musicians, and all that. Never get to a point where you begin to demand money for what you do for God. Don't do that. I know there is a whole lot of craze out there where people say things like, musicians should be paid. See, you see, this, when you join a church, let me explain to you why I don't believe in paying musicians. When you join a church, you joined your family. Is that what the Bible said? A spiritual family. When you are in a family, you are going to wash plates. Imagine washing plates and telling your mother, as I'm washing plates here, every plate I wash, 50 naira. It's slippers that will greet you. Not those that sleep, but that's what will greet you. You are serving. I get what I'm saying. Now, if we say we should pay musicians, should we pay ushers? Are you following me? Should we pay a technical team? Do you know what people pass through? Now, if the church, hear this now. If the church gets to a point where they feel we need a full-time musician who will not do any other work, but who will focus so that Monday to Friday we have him here working for us, we should place that person on salary so that he can live his life. I get what I'm talking about. Because we've taken the person away from another thing that will pay him. Now, if the church decides to employ a full-time media person, so that wherever pastor is going, he's following pastor up and down. Every meeting, he's always Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, he's available. Now, you can't say you won't pay the person. Are you what I'm talking about? That's why there is church office and there is church staff. Now, we've hired you as a staff in the church. But that you are serving God here with your skill and talent and expect that one day we'll begin to pay you. It will not happen. I had a man of God, I think it was Pastor David Ibiome, tell his people, he said, this is the last meeting, he said, if they ever pay you for serving God in the church, say you remain poor. That he told them plainly. He said, if they pay you for serving God, he said, you will remain poor. I said, now, wow. Think about it. He said, because there is reward from God for serving him. If he insists and collect it on earth here, God is, you've collected it. You see what Jesus told them? He said, when you want to give, this is an example, when you want to give to someone, he said, don't let your left right hand know what your left hand is doing. He said, because when you do that, you're going to receive your reward already. What's that reward? The presence of man. That healing. He said, once you do that, you've received your reward. He said, but when you give in secret, your father who sees in secret will not reward you in secret. In other words, if you demand reward from men, God won't reward you. Because the first thing God even rewards is heart, motive. So if your motive for playing in church or for working in church is to be paid, you will get your payments quite alright. But that's all there is to it. So when you see a pastor like me, who has pastored for how many years in this church, growing a church, at least our church is growing, at least you know. And yet, on no official salary, there's no wrong to collect salary, and I'll say collect salary in this church, official salary. You know how to work salary, they work salary, they have wardrobe allowance, everything, I will still do that. But till now, pastors are here, granting me that there's no official salary. If the church wants to appreciate me, they do.
But like official salary of every month, pastor collects 700,000. Nothing like that in this church till now. Are you what I'm talking about? That there is appreciation and honor, which is right. But a church too should pay their pastor. And I know it. So why are you not collecting it? Because I want to do it for now. To let myself and my being and everything inside of me know and be assured they are not in this because of money. Secondly, I want to do it for now to let myself and my being know that God can provide for you. You know what I'm talking about? And now somebody is singing and wants to be paid. Now, not just paid in his local church. First of all, you shouldn't even be paid in your local church where you are serving. However, even if they invite you, hear what I'm going to say. Even if they invite you to sing all over the world, never negotiate price. No matter the level you get to. Now, I know that's what is trending. Never do it. How much will you pay me? So if they pay, how much will God now pay you? Now that once you are charging money, you are negotiating price, I can never have you sing here. And sometimes you see people negotiate 1.5 million to sing for 15 minutes. So now, you know how many hours I've preached this weekend? Do you know how many hours I've preached this weekend? Yes, I was using that head mic because when I finished morning session, my shoulders everywhere were just hurting. Now, I've done Friday, Thursday, 2 hours, morning, Friday morning, 2 hours, Thursday. We've done up to 10 hours now this weekend. Now, if they pay me 1.5 million for every 15 minutes I preach, and you see people, they bring 10 musicians, pay them 2 million. How much will you now pay the preacher? So look at the deception. If you hear that Pastor Henry was invited to preach somewhere and he negotiated a bargained price with them, you will say, now, wow, pastors, they are in it for money. But when you hear that a musician was invited, he bargained for the price, he said, hey, that's his job. Let me explain something to you. Don't tell me, but if it is secular musicians, you are not a secular musician. If you want to be, go and become. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't do it. You say, how do I now make money from my music? First of all, they invite you to go and sing. It's good you have a proper protocol team, okay, that will make sure you are well taken care of, because that's what the scripture teaches. Okay? Now, apart from that, at least they should honor you very well. Your protocol team should ensure that. So you hear me talking like this, you think you want to invite Pastor Henry, you just call him and he will just jump and come. No. My protocol team will make sure that you're going to take care of me before you muzzle the ox that traded the corn. You understand? So make sure there is proper honor. Then secondly, since you're a singer, do your song. There are now platforms. There is Spotify, where people can stream your music, Abby. And you get put your song on those platforms. Trust God, God will people will stream it. But to go up and down, charging to sing on God's altar, you're no longer a minister, you're a businessman. Dangote, that's what you are now. Serve the Lord with everything and you say amen, somebody. I don't know if you like this part I said now. But if you don't like it, just accept it. Amen. Serve the Lord with everything in you. And I'm going to share a few things with you. The blessing of serving the Lord. Number one, when you serve the Lord, the first blessing I see in serving the Lord is, first of all, what I wrote in my notes is the privilege of serving the Lord. Serving the Lord in itself is a big privilege. Let's start with that. What I mean by privilege is something you should be thankful to God that you're able to do. Because when you serve in the court of a king, you should be proud. When you serve in the president's court, you should be proud. So serving God is a big privilege and not anything to be ashamed of. You know what Jesus told them? I think that's Luke 17 verse 10. Let me show you something. Is it verse 10? Okay, start from verse 9 or verse 8 so that you can get the full flow. Turn to NLT so that we can. Are you ready? Verse 7. I want you to get the full flow. We're going to read it like a mass choir. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now go back to verse 7 now. Let's go together. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? He's asking a question. No. What does he say? Prepare my meal, put on your apron, serve me while I eat, then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? He said no. So now look at where he's going to with this. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We've simply done our duty. Serving God is a privilege. It's not something you should expect anybody to thank you because you did. I get what I'm talking about. It's not something you expect, oh, we celebrate you because of why I serve in church. It's after thanking, after serving God, you should thank Him for the privilege of serving Him. Now, I tell you, I pray this almost every day. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of leading your people. It's a big privilege to stand there and be preaching. Very big one. None of us serves God because we can serve Him or because we deserve it. All of you know, all of us know where God picked us from. How unqualified we were, and we still are. So when we are serving Him, just know that it's a big, big privilege to serve Him. So before you begin to check what is in it for me if I serve God, whether there is anything in it or not, the fact that I serve, you are not even qualified to serve Him. So it's a very big privilege that He even allowed you. Are you what I'm talking about? So this, like, there is a job opportunity, and we need people that have PhD to do it. And then you came with your work, and I employ you. You should wake up every day and thank me. Every morning. Once you get to work, you say, thank you, sir, for this opportunity to work for you. I don't take it for granted every day. We do not qualify to stand. He alone is our qualification. So in our own self, we don't even qualify to clean church. He says, sir, why? Didn't you check the Old Testament? If you're not a Levite, you can't even clean church. You can't even sing in church. But today, anybody, because of course, that is the priesthood of all believers. All believers can now do that. So it's a very big privilege. Nothing to brag about. Nothing to complain about. Everything to be thankful to God for. Thank you for the privilege of preaching the gospel. The privilege of serving your saints. Privilege of sharing the gospel. It's a big, big privilege. Are you getting the point? A privilege to advance work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Secondly, there is a reward, as I shared with you yesterday. There is a reward you are going to receive after now. I've taught that many times. There is a reward you are going to receive after now. Hebrews 6 tells us in verse 10. Hallelujah. He said, for God is not unrighteous, and He will not forget your labor of love, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. So God is not unrighteous. He won't forget your work and your labor of love. So when you are ministering, and look at what he calls labor of love. What is it? Ministering to the saints. So when you are ministering to the saints, ministering there is service, not just talking about me preaching. Serving the saints. If you are serving the saints in any capacity, he said the Lord will not forget it. So that is a reward we are going to receive after now. And I was talking about the age to come. Do you remember that? The reward after now. We're going to be rewarded. We're going to be rewarded. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm going to say a little of some of those rewards, for instance. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. Are you still here? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just read from my own notes. 1 Thessalonians verse 19. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, and not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? So when we meet the Lord, Paul is saying that the reason he will be rejoicing and shouting is because of the Thessalonian church, because he has been a blessing to them. So when we meet the Lord, one of the things that will make you rejoice, that will make you rewarded, is the fact that there are people you've ministered to and you've served. So he said, our joy when we meet the Lord is you. He was talking to the Thessalonian church because he was ministering to them. He said, you are our joy. Verse 20 says, you are our glory and our joy. So if there are people that God is using you to bless, that will be what your joy will be when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. You know, New Living Translation rather. He said, verse 19 said, after all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? He said, it is you. So I want to ask you, do you have anybody you can say, this will be my proud reward when the Lord returns? Do you have anybody who've impacted his life that you know that when the Lord returns, because of the work I've done in this brother's life, I'll be rewarded? Like what I'm talking about. There's a reward after now. And we should live our lives for that reward. Winning souls. Serving the saints. Serving the saints. Are you still here, friends? I said, are you still here? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So when we meet the Lord, we will be rewarded. Hear this. If only in this world life we have hope, you see, that is the scripture. We are of all men, most miserable. So everything we are doing now has a reward. I keep reminding you that there is a judgment seat of Christ where the Lord will reward us for all of these things. If there was none, Paul the apostle and Peter and the rest wouldn't serve God the way they did. If you read, I think that's 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul was narrating, 2 Corinthians 11 rather, where Paul was narrating the things he passed through for the sake of Christ. He said he was shipwrecked at a time. He said he has been robbed in the course of the gospel. He said he has slept a night, a full night on the sea. Many times, he said he was beaten 39 strokes of the cane 3 times, all for the Lord. Why was he taking all of those things? Because they know that after now, there is a reward. He said, the writer of Hebrews put it, he said, looking unto Jesus, right? The author, Hebrews 12 verse 2, and the finisher of our faith. What did he say about Jesus? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That's how to do ministry. You do ministry for the joy set before you. So why did Jesus endure the cross? There was a joy set before him. I get him, everybody. We're going to be rewarded after now. Whatever you are doing for the Lord now is not in vain. It is not in vain. That is a joy set before us. I was saying it yesterday. The reason, and some of you don't know this, the reason on one major reason why it's easy for me to endure everything that ministry brings, all the challenges, is because there is a joy set before me. There's a joy set before me. So when Jesus was carrying that cross, today is Easter, was celebrating resurrection. When he was carrying that cross, what do you think was going on through his mind? Why do you think he didn't drop the cross? The writer of Hebrews is telling us there was a joy set before him. Can I tell you what that joy was? That joy was you. He was looking at your salvation, how the people that he would redeem, people that would believe in him. So you are the joy he was looking at and endured the cross. That same way as you are doing your ministry, for the joy set before you. And I tell you, this has helped me a lot. Sometimes I meet a very young Christian who is very insulting and has all the bad characters. And you see me, I'll just be patient, trying to build. Actually, what I put in my face while I'm doing that, or on my mind while I'm doing that, I'm seeing everything this person can become. So if I'm seeing everything that can become, I can enjoy everything and painstakingly help the person grow. I get what I'm saying? Like now I'm teaching this morning. Some of you are so tired. Some of you are even sleeping. The reason why, and me too, I'm tired. The reason why I will not just drop this mic and walk out of this place now. Say, well, I mean, I'm tired. I'm preaching. You too, you are sleeping. Can't you? The reason I won't do that is because there is a joy. I know you can become better. So if I'm looking at the joy set before me, where you will be in the next 10 years, I will endure this cross and preach the hell out of you. Glory to God. And so in doing ministry, you see, it's going to cost. I wanted to say it's going to cost a little, but here it's going to cost a lot. But for the joy set before you, for the glory that is to come, for the life after now, you endure the cross. You despise the shame. Are you following me, friends? You ignore everything and you carry it on your head. How many of you believe the Bible? You believe the Bible totally, completely. And so you know that after now you'll be rewarded. Do you believe that truly? Now, if that is true, then you're supposed to carry it on your head. That's what Paul said after he talks to them in 1 Corinthians 15 about the coming of our Lord, how we'll be raised. After everything, he now told them, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding. If you know there is a joy set before you, you will always abound. So stay committed. Shout amen, somebody. Because there is a joy. There's a reward after now. Let me say one more thing. It's not something too spiritual. But you know, some another thing serving the Lord and His church will do for you is that it connects you to people. It's one of the major ways to build very solid, healthy relationships. You see, if you breeze into church and you breeze out, you are not only, you are missing out of a lot of relationships. You see, if I look into this church, that many of you, I can literally remember the days you came into this church. You know, some of you don't know the blessing the church is. Some of you think the blessing the church is just that we are declaring, oh, we are blessed. It's beyond that. Some of you know when you came into this church, for instance. Some of you, the jobs you are doing now, or the skill you have now, it is someone you met when you came into this church that helped you build that skill. Two of us. I'm telling you for free. Some of you, the businesses you are doing now, it is someone you met. Some of you, when I got a job, I got a crypto job. Some of you, before you entered there, you knew nothing about anything called cryptocurrency, sir. Are you what I'm saying? He says, I would have let it anywhere. Yes. Maybe you would have been duped a few times before you learn it. It's one of the best ways to build relationships. We are serving in the church. You meet real people. You even meet your husband. Or your wife. It connects you to people. You know, let me digress to say, let me tell you as a young person, build solid friendships. Healthy friendships. Because the people you call friends today, your children will call uncles tomorrow. And if they are very foolish, ignorant, quarrelsome people, troublesome human beings, you know children see through people. It's the children that will tell you, I don't like that uncle. They see through people. I don't like that auntie. That auntie has problem. I'm telling you. Build solid friendships today. And should anything happen and you're not around for any reason, maybe because of death or because of whatever, it is the friendships that you build that your children will keep falling back to. And that's the truth. There are a few of you that have lost your parents. You complain about your uncles, but if you check very well, some people that have been of the greatest help to you are your daddy's friends. I know what I'm talking about. People not, they're not even related to him in any way. And so you can't be very careless with choosing people you flow with. And that's why church is a good place to build such relationships. And that's why when people find it easy to dump churches, most times when you dump, walk out of a church, sometimes you take your life 10 steps backwards. I'll tell you why. Part of what happens to you is that when you just easily walk out of a church, especially when you've been for a very long time, you are walking out of many relationships. Now, it's a matter of time. Especially when you walk out angrily. You know what I'm saying? The few that will keep trying to flow with you, you know, even though you've left, will soon go if they're going to remain in that church. The reason is very simple. If I value Pastor Dave very well, I love this guy, I value him, and one day you have a problem with Pastor Dave, and you hate Pastor Dave with passion, if I keep flowing with you, I might be insulting Pastor Dave in the process. If someone hates your mother very well, and you keep flowing with that person, you are insulting your mom. Are you aware of this? If someone hates your mom very well, I'm telling you, stop forming work. There's a case that one of my friends was sharing with me. You know, I don't support family enemies and all that. But these two families are not just one enemies. This other family
hurt this other family very well many years ago. So they don't talk. And this guy wanted to get married and went exactly to that family to pick a wife. The mother stayed over her dead body. And to tell him that they never wanted him to marry their daughter, they dealt with him. Then he got that they told the girl.
Real life story, real life story.
They told the girl, stand up. She stood up. And they told the girl to turn. And she turned. And they were like, are you seeing the package you are coming to pay for? The list they gave him had keke and pep inside. Now, I'm telling you a real life story. Keke and pep for the father. I'm not joking. I said, by getting into that relationship, you are trying to spite your parents. If you want to help them reconcile, it's another different case. You get the point? And so when you walk out of those relationships, it's a matter of time. If you keep spiting what I river, it's a matter of time I will shift from you, because, come on, it's a matter of time. Eventually. It's a different thing. Now, are you saying that, sir, so once anybody leaves this church, you stop talking to him? No, that's what I said. People change church. People can change church for different reasons. This is not a cult. I keep saying that. This is not a cult that when you leave, you die. Nothing like that. People can change church. People can get married and marry out of our church. They say people marry into our church. And there's nothing wrong with that. I get what I'm saying. Once they're in God's will. Some people that are students today are going to graduate and say, oh, I don't think I continue with this church because it's far from where I stay. It's fine. People change church for different reasons. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when someone walks out of a place and walks out angrily and is bitter, every time you meet, they say, your church is nonsense. It's a matter of time, you too. Either you leave that church or you leave the person. I get what I'm saying. So you can't be in a hurry to just say, I'm walking out. Because one thing church connects you to, it connects you to real people. I get what I'm saying. People. That's why changing church is hard, though. Changing church is very difficult. If you ever change church in your life, you know it's very difficult. It's like your life is starting afresh. You begin to meet new people, get to talk to them, get to know how to relate with them. It's hard. And that's why I say you should only change church for one reason. That reason is that you've prayed, you've studied what the church teaches, and you have a liberty in your heart by the Spirit of God to do it. That's why when people want to join our church, some of them are here for the first time. You are very much welcome to this place. We want you to join us. But we want you to, first of all, listen very well to what we are teaching. Be sure you agree with it. Be sure your spirit agrees with you to join us. Because changing church should not be a frivolous thing. However, you shouldn't stick to a church because I said it's not a frivolous thing when you are not well fed. So I was born here, I will die here. And you are dying for real. Make sure you are in a place where you are well fed, where you are growing, where you are getting better. When you find that church, stick to it. Actually, such churches are rare. Don't, because of whatever small issue, don't throw away what you found. Your church connects you to real people. Let me even say one more thing. Serving in church does for you. Serving the Lord in church is not also too spiritual. It helps you develop your abilities, both spiritual abilities and even natural abilities. Now, hear this. For other spiritual abilities, if you are going to serve in church, before you know, you'll be able to heal the sick better. Before you know, you'll be able to prophesy. Those are spiritual abilities. Church helps you develop that. Not just coming to church, serving in church. That's what I'm saying. But it also helps the natural ability. You know, there are some of you here. Okay, like that young man now on that camera. That fine young man on that camera. Possibly would have never touched a camera in his life before he came here. Many of them are like that. One of them on this system, acting like they are tech people, have never seen those softwares in their life. But that service in church, just by serving in church, somebody said, a pastor said one day, that he doesn't think church should pay people, that people should start paying churches. You are getting free media training. And if you want to go and enroll in a company to be trained to handle camera, okay, you will pay heavily. But here, just by serving, we are serving the Lord. You are learning. You are now swapping. You snap rubbish, they correct you. You continue. And now, you can handle camera. Yes, Pastor Casey, how much, if somebody comes to, somebody wants to learn photography, to handle camera, how much? Huh? 150,000. Now, I'm telling you the last story. But then you are serving, and just by serving, you are developing just some abilities you never knew you had. How many of you know what we call sound engineering today is a full course on its own? There are a lot of abilities you develop just because you are serving. Some of you that are singers, before you came here, you know what your voice used to sound like, sir. We know. We even remember. We remember the rubbish. We remember everything. That's why never in your life forget your past and where you are coming from. So tomorrow somebody in this choir gets global and maybe walks out of church and says, that church, I suffered. You suffered in that church? Where did you first handle mic? To sing that nonsense you are singing for you to now begin to develop. Where did you first start going for rehearsal? I get the point. Church is the only place that employs unqualified people and waits for them till they get qualified. It's only in church, sir. I said they employ awkward, even ushers. Ushering agency is a big deal today. Okay? For some of you, when you join us, you didn't know nothing. You used to stand like swagger like this. They start training you, be bold, approach people, do it well. Some of you, when you join church ushering team, no ushering agency would have hired you then. I'm not just insulting you. It's getting obvious. If you are to go join a professional choir, you know you may not qualify. Church just takes you up like that. Gives you opportunity to sing nonsense on their stage and waits for you to keep getting better. We've endured things in this church from the choir. And even before church came, there was one meeting we had. My God, these people suck. I've seen things. I know my kind of person. Once that starts, I keep a very straight face. And these people, we are making a mess of everybody. I know the way we are trained, everybody. That's doing all of that. Of course, we are laughing with it today, but it wasn't funny on that day. There was one meeting we had where they were meant to do this song. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. The other person says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God. Jesus Christ. I just was watching my playing keyboard. At the time, he stopped playing. Now, that's the opportunity you are giving to misbehave. You are corrected and you keep growing. Talk about watching my playing keyboard. When he started playing keyboard for me, because I have a principle. I don't invite people to play keyboard for me or to play instrument for me from the first day of this church. No matter how you can play, be pressing it like that. When he started playing, he was very young. He didn't know much to play. But then he was playing for us. Whatever key you can play, play it. You know, when the church started new, there was nowhere playing keyboard. Like new all of our people. Amen. There was one meeting they had, you know, we had, and then, of course, they brought some of their friends that could play very well. After that meeting, I called them, I said, stop it. I know it might not be that good, but I want to hear you play. I like your own playing, and that's how it is for me. And from there, these guys are good now. You hear them play, you like it. It's only church that can allow you. Why do you think you hear things like, this secular musician started in church? You hear those kind of things. It's only in church. There's no other company, no organization will allow you without paying them. Except you are paying to learn. You didn't pay to learn. You just joined them and you're handling their things anyhow. And sometimes because you don't know how to handle it, you spoil it. Don't you replace it? One of our cameras are bad now. Somebody carried it and spoiled it. Real life story. Because you're learning. It's only in church that can do that. So the kind of abilities you develop. You know, a man told a story. A guy, he said he traveled abroad to work in a company. So, of course, he had gotten the job. They were training them. It's not a Nigerian company. Not these very solid companies. They were training them, you know, in the process. And he wrote many of his abilities. You know, this, they write your strengths and your weaknesses. So, in the process of the training, about 6 months training, towards the end, they called him. They said, you wrote many things as your abilities and your qualifications, but that is something, and your experience, because he wrote his experiences, I've worked here and worked there. They said, there is something we are seeing in you. It is very strong in you, but you don't put it as your experience. And he asked what? They asked him, have you ever led anything? He said, no. They kept asking him. He said, okay. In my church, they told me to lead a 10-man team one time to plan a conference. And they said, that's where it's coming from. He said, you have such exceptional ability that we've never seen anywhere. And it was obvious it was that training in church. Lead this team and put that in him. There are many things that serving in church does for you that you don't know. Many abilities you are developing that you don't know. So the strength you are using to run your company today and push your business today, you got it from serving here. Because all those opportunities they give you, lead this one, it's trying to fail. Pastor say, if I count 5, let that thing correct and work. And then the pressure is on you. Something is forming inside of you. So tomorrow, when something is falling apart in your business, you find yourself being calm and being strong and finding a way through it. But you will never know. You know, that's why all these things people complain about church, a digression now. But that's stop that nonsense complaint. I saw a video, very powerful video. It says, why is there something like church halls? Church halls is a very stupid. People even write articles on church halls. How to survive church halls. What is church halls? Why is there no school halls? Don't people hurt you in school? Office halls, hospital halls. There is nowhere you meet people gather that they will not hurt you. We are here to hurt you. That's why we are here. And your child is going to come back tomorrow and say, Mom, teacher flogged me in school. You might go to the school and tell the school, I don't like how the teacher flogged my child. But you will never tell your son, no, don't go to school again. School is scam. Because they flogged in school. I get what I'm saying. But it's easy for you to say, I will never go to church again because they hurt me in church. That's foolishness. He said, church is full of pretenders. Yes, that's why you are here. You are one pretender. Church is full of hypocrites. That's the truth. Let me say this to you. If the church was perfect, you should not be a member. Because you are not perfect. You would have the church, you are a member because church is imperfect. Serve the Lord here. And if you visited us from another local church for this race of fact, and you are here today, go back and serve the Lord in your church. And if you want to join us here, of course, do the proper thing, and you are here with us, serve the Lord here with everything in you. There is a lot more added to you. Let me even say one more thing, church helps you. Serving in church helps you do. It helps you develop your love walk. You see, it's in this place you learn how to walk in love. You know, when we teach you walk in love, that's a doctrine. The only way to learn it practically is when you are inside and you are serving. When some people will deal with you. You see, in church, we teach forgiveness from the stage. When we are done, church members will teach you how to forgive. They will join hands together to teach you how to forgive. They will do things to you. I've had some of my leaders here call on phone and cry. Now, not figurative crying. First of all, the member has done. Pastor, can you imagine? I say, call him and love him. Love him, love him. It's church that will teach you that. You can't walk solidly in love if you are not serving in church. You've not mastered it. And I keep saying it. There are some things that tomorrow you can endure in your marriage and make it work. Because we've endured more here. If I'm such a person that is so quick to walk out because something went wrong, somebody hurts you, you are missing an opportunity to learn how to walk in love. And tomorrow you will need it very well in your relationships. You will. You will. Because marriage is a coming together of two perfect forgivers. Get the point? Two perfect, if you can easily forgive, you can survive. Now, but then forgiveness and tolerance, two big things. But in the church here, church teaches you, church members will teach you how to tolerate. They will teach you, no, don't bother, don't need scheme of work. They know how to teach you. They will get on your nerves. That's why it's church. I get the point. You'll be in the choir or in the ushering team on your team tomorrow, and the person asks to lead you. Now you're a big boy, you're a big man. Maybe you even think you are richer. The person asks to lead you. It's a third year student. A lady. And then she says, you are late. Don't do that again. If you come late again, this is a different measure. And you're checking yourself. What's giving this girl a power to talk to me like this? And you take it in. Something is forming. Tomorrow when they look at you, you are so meek and easygoing. They're wondering, is this how this boy was created? This guy is just so soft. Something made you like that. It's all those interactions. Some of you notice when you entered here, before you came into the church at first, if they talk to you, you don't take nonsense. Once they talk, you say, see. I know me. But you know, by the time you do 1 year, 2 years, 3 years of churching right, you begin to take a lot of nonsense. What is happening? Something has changed. It's now easier to walk in love, to love people, to tolerate people. Have you observed that as you begin to grow in life, there are things people did 5 years ago that if they do now, you don't bother. But you even make excuses for them. That's how they are. Church changed my life. Both being a member of a church and pastoring you people. You will change my life. You must learn how to forgive. It's in church you learn it. Now, it's not from pulpits. After they teach from pulpits, members will teach you how to forgive people. Because they will do things. They will teach you how to love. They will slam the door on you. After everything you've done for them. And look you in the face and say, what have you even done for me? And then you go to pray and let come, but the Lord said, just forgive him. Pray that he prospers. Pray that. Church will teach you. But it's forming. You know something is forming in you. They need to forgive. They need to tolerate. Tomorrow, the Bible tells us about Moses, that Moses was the meekest man on earth. Moses, the man who at 40 killed somebody and buried him. By the time he led Israel for some time, he himself wrote by himself that Moses is the meekest man on earth. You can imagine, you Jackie, this man, you are meek. Because the Israelites, they pushed this boy. To lead the Israelites, go and read that. Go and read that on us. Because these people, they were, you know, the Israelites, that's why when I see, God was teaching me one day, he said, your church did this to you. Remember this, and you're complaining. He said, you're not ready. I said, Lord, I'm taking a lot. He said, go and read Moses. They once, the whole Israel church, yeah, picked up stone to stone me. Real life story. The whole, imagine this whole church when they say, carry stone. Let's go, pastor. Like, they did it to Moses. Members will teach you how to forgive. Don't worry. There is in them. So one of the things that built my love work the most is serving among God's people. Serving among God's people. It helps you develop character. So now that people are hurting you up, and that it's part of the training. It's part of the package. So when people hurt you, it's part of it. Don't complain. Learn from it. Are you still here? So church will help you develop your love work. This timer is not working. Get this timer working. Praise God. Of course, I say one more thing before I just begin to wind down. It positions you for the blessing. Serving in church positions you for the blessing. For the blessing. Yes, God wants to bless you, and God blesses through men. But the easiest way for you to be blessed in a church under a father is that you are serving him. Serving a man positions you to be blessed of that man. That is the truth. And so you see the blessing that the Lord
that Elijah put on Elisha, he came on the platform of service. Here he's working now. He came on the platform of service. You see what they say concerning Elisha and Elijah? He said Elisha was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's doing menial job for him. And that's what positioned him for the blessing he finally got. Joshua served Moses. Now, it is easier for my words to work in your life if you are serving with me in the ministry. That's the truth. It's easier. It's easier. I'm not just talking about healing. I'm not just talking about getting financial breakthrough. I mean words that will shape your life and change. It is easier if you are serving. Because service is the proof of sonship. Paul said concerning Timothy, I think that's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Read up, I want to read that out. See, you know the proof of him as a son. Yeah, look at that. Why? Well, trust in our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not things which are Christ Jesus. Now, but you know, look at that. You know what? The proof of him that as a son with the father, he has served. So what is the proof of Timothy as a son of sonship? He served. He has served with me. It is serving with a man that confers that sonship on you. The proof of sonship is that you are serving with me in ministry. That's why there are people who are around, okay, who are around this church now, around the Enugu Center, who are not as much sons as people who are in Lagos are. That person in Lagos serving in the choir, serving in the usher, in this ministry program of grace that God has given unto me, is more of a son than the person that sits around here and disturbs my life. Because sonship is service. That is to have members that can disturb. Every service after service, they want to talk to you. So can I tell you something? Every day. And you think that's how these things work? Go and check every example of sonship and fatherhood in the Bible. The hallmark of it was service. Service. Check Elijah, Elisha. Check Paul and Timothy. I just showed you one. Check Jesus and the disciples. I give some examples of where they even served him in not so spiritual things. For instance, before we go to that place, there was a time he sent them forth. The Bible said he sent them to every place he would visit. Have you seen that in the Bible? Now, there's a place he sent them for mission to go and preach. There's a place he sent them to the places he was still coming to visit. So they can go and announce his fame before he comes. That is called publicity. Are you what I'm talking about? In this same Bible, there are some other women in Luke chapter 9, the Bible tells us that we are serving Jesus with their resources. Bible said they minister to him of their substance. Those are sons. So that time Jesus sent the whole of the disciples, John chapter 4, to go and buy food for him. The other time he sent Peter. Now, Peter, a married man, older than Jesus, history tells us. He sent, if there were the ones that asked him, Master, where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover for you? The Passover was a feast they used to hold. So he said, which hotel? So he sent them to the event center in our own context now, where they will go and prepare. So they went there, prepared it. What does it mean to prepare Passover? You know, it's just Bible time. To go and cook. Prepare the living bread. That's what I'm talking about. Make it how it's supposed to be. So Peter and the rest asked Jesus, where do we go and prepare? So they cooked, they prepared. Now got the wine. They didn't. You don't buy. It's not buying wine. You prepare the wine. Get it from vine. Who's what I'm talking about? All of that they did. So I just come and eat Passover. That's sonship. And so it is easier when you're in that state. Words don't fly over your head. Are you going to say? Words don't fly over your head. There are some of you here, and I say it confidently. There are some things that will happen to you. I have no fear. I have no fear. I have no fear. Words will bring you back. My words. If it doesn't happen, God has failed me. Are you going to say? I cannot fail me.
I told about the woman that died in days of Brother Hagin, died and got to heaven, and the God said, you are going back. And she said, why? He said, look, and he saw Brother Hagin kneeling over her. The only thing Brother Hagin was saying is, Lord, I still need her here. She's profitable unto me. I need her here. And God sent her back. I get what I'm saying. There are words we walk more. That's why this idea, it's witchcraft. This idea of jumping from prophet to prophet is because people have not learned how to settle down oneself. The words of a man of God does not work upon your life because it's too powerful. Listen, it is posture that guarantees blessing. I get what I'm saying. It's your posture towards that man that guarantees that his word will work in your life, not about how powerful he is. I've had people say things like, I met Pastor this, he prayed for me, nothing happened. It can happen, it's possible. And there's nothing wrong with the man. And so I'm not saying that if you're not serving here, if I speak, it will not work upon your life. No. But I don't know whether I have time to address this now. You know, God help me. You know there are spiritual battles. And spiritual battles sometimes have protocols. There is something that can hit a person. Only a father can remove it. It is spiritual protocol. I don't have time to open it up. When I can, I will. The curse that Jacob placed on Reuben, no other person would have removed it apart from Moses. No other person. You know why? A biological father. Biological father. And he didn't curse you out of wickedness. He cursed you because you did something bad. Reuben went up his father's couch. Whatever that means, just think about that. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means? Okay, let's leave it like that. It's good to use such terms. Committed that crime. And Jacob said, you are my firstborn, but you will not excel because you are as unstable as waters. And you went to my couch. That was a powerful curse. And the tribe of Reuben kept becoming small. Until many years after Deuteronomy 33 verse 6, the popular scripture, Moses stopped one day, looked at Reuben and said, let Reuben live and not die. And let not his men be few. There are certain protocols. There's a brother that had an issue, and I was talking to some of my friends. I said, this particular matter, I can help this brother. But he just started coming around church. I want him to commit. Let me be sure that this one is a son if I help him. Because there are some battles I cannot get my head into. I don't like sounding supernatural. But about I can get my head into. You understand? Just after in Suka, and I seen a Maharamad. That's an example. You know what it means? That the gods have chosen this one to serve him. You see, to break out from that kind of thing, there's not any roadside prophet that can bring you out. Leave that. I'm telling you, like that. You know what it means? It means from generations before, they have decided that it is you that will carry on the legacy of this idol. If you like, if they keep taking you from everywhere to everywhere, you will see. I know someone, the God chose him. He traveled abroad. Now, a real life story. Traveled abroad, was doing business every night. The God will appear like a woman. Physically, go home. What are you doing here? And the God will introduce herself. I'm beating you. You know that? Lare, in a bit, Megan, go home. And he thought it was a joke. You enter plane to come. They know how they come. They don't enter plane. Go home.
From there, he kept fighting to go home. He lost his job. He was deported. He came home. The devil is a wicked devil. A very wicked devil. Ah, Jesus Christ. Where's our joker? It was a powerful deliverance case. Men of God gathered. Well, this one, anywhere you go, the thing will call you back. Come back. I need you here. So come and do what? Come and sit down with the village. And be collecting fowl. Someone that was working in a multinational in the United States. That is a wicked devil. Now, when such things begin to happen, you see, there is need for fathers to arise and take their place. He said, I will turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Are you what I'm saying? So you need to realize, my dad told us one day, you may not like it because you're a new creation man, but he told us that the fatherless is under a curse. He doesn't just know. Because when matters set, you know that I really cursed. There's a great man of God in this church. Let me tell you his story. I will not call his name. Some of you that follow Nigerian church stories, you will know him. Great man of God, mega church in this country. Has stranded a few times for the wrong reasons. And some years ago, just a few years ago, the Lord led him to go. I was mentioned them of the man that he submitted to go submit to Bishop Oyedepo. Real life story. He submitted to the man, his ministry to him. After 1 year, 2 years after that submission, the guy was struck by a heavy disease, cancer. So if you know the story, he was out of the media for long. Cancer, they flew him to the UK. He was like, if you see him when he came out, I have the picture. Cancer, stage 4, almost dead. Amen. He shared the testimony himself as Kenan Lamb. So if you know the story I'm talking about, Shane. That day, he just called Papa on the phone. Hallelujah. Follow men, fathers that know their place in your life. I've heard that bishop say, you know that story? Say, hey, Satan, this is between me and my son. Take your hands off. And somebody's life changed. Bishop just spoke from the phone. Say, in the name of Jesus, let everything. And that was it. From there, recovery began. He came back fully back to his feet. Now, if that guy had died, the Nigerian media would have said that it's all the crime they think he committed that killed him. But what killed him would have been the woes of the fatherless. Because whenever God leads you, like, that's why you must serve. I've gone to the next, what I want to say, how to serve the Lord. You must serve with the right heart. That's why when you're following and you're serving in church, don't let your heart get corrupted. Don't let anything corrupt your heart. Make sure you are serving with the right heart. That's what we guarantee, that whatever God is working in your life, we walk. Are you still here? Serve with the right heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. And the thing about the heart is, you can pretend that you are serving with the right heart, but God sees the heart. He said, I search the hearts. Serve with the right heart. Free of competition, for instance. They are not serving because they are competing. They are trying to outdo anybody. We are trying to be the biggest church. I want to be the best church so that they can be appreciating me. That's competition. Serve with the right heart. No envy. No offense. Not because offense will not come, but because you will not take the offense. Serve with the right heart. No eye service. There are a lot of people that are serving in this church and in many churches, and are serving out of eye service. And how you will know is, once pastor is not around, they begin to misbehave. Once pastor is absent, you see them, they will no longer be coming around. Once pastor is around, they come and begin to act up. That's eye service. You are getting your reward here already. I don't do eye service. I don't believe in eye service. Whatever I don't believe in, I don't believe in. Anything like I won't do, I will not do. Whatever I will do, I will do. That's real service. No eye service. No pretense. Are you following me? I serve with the right heart. I have 20 minutes to go. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you getting blessed? You serve with the right heart. Be available. So I'm telling you how to serve. Number one, serve with the right heart. Number two, be available to be trained. Every kind of training. Formal trainings, informal trainings, practical trainings, be available. Formal trainings like we're having PGTI classes, all those kind of things. Be available to be trained. Be available to be trained. If you have evangelism, it's an opportunity for you to be trained. Be available for it. Stop choosing the services to attend in church. All of them are there to train you. We're having 3 hours prayer meeting. Be there to be trained. That's how to serve the Lord. Number three, be a follower of instructions. I spoke to the pastors about this on Thursday in the morning. You see, ministry is in instructions. Ministry is in instructions. You are only a good minister because you follow instructions you are given. Both instructions from God and instructions from your leaders. Hear this. If you are not following my instructions, you are not serving. You must obey instructions. Now, listen, there's a difference between obedience and agreement. I didn't say you must agree with the instructions. I said you must obey it. You know what the agreement is? If I walk up to you and I'm explaining to you, I want you to go and carry that water there. The reason we have to carry is that when we carry it, that's it, people will need it in church and people will not fall down. It will not, and you say, okay, wow, I understand. And you go carry it. You obey, but we agreed. I mean, and that's why I told my pastors, if you are a son and we have to explain every instruction to you, you're a bad son. You know what I'm saying? If I have to explain, if I have to give you reason why you should do everything, follow instructions. Every instruction. That's why, you know, the way I work with my pastors, you know, and I tell people, if you're a son to me, so if I allow you to do many things you like, but you're coming up. I believe in instructions to the letter. If I say, go and get this done in 3.5 minutes, do it. If I say, do it in 5 minutes, every instruction must be followed. That's how to serve the Lord. Ministry is an instruction. Let me tell you why. Because if you work in a company, they will pay you based on how you followed the instructions you are given. If you are asked to send a mail by 2 p.m. and by that 2 p.m. you didn't send that mail, they will deduct it from your salary. Why? You missed an instruction. So when you are serving in church, follow. If you say be around, be around, be seated, dress this way, dress that way, pray every day. Now we pray every morning, 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. And yet, that simple instruction, you can't even obey it consistently. Something is wrong. And it's not right. I'm talking about both instructions given to you personally and instructions given to the whole church. If I talk from here and say, next month you are going to fast. That's how to serve the Lord. This tomorrow, on Saturday, we go for evangelism every day. And because all our evangelism now at cell level is now missions. Nobody's monitoring you again, so you don't even come out. Why do you have a problem with following simple instructions? I told my pastor, I said, if you cannot follow my instructions, you're not a son. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. You must be instructed and you must follow those instructions. You cannot serve the Lord if you don't follow instructions. Service and ministry is in instructions. Are you following what I'm saying? Go get this thing done. Get up and go and get it done. Because even as a pastor now, I will be failing in ministry if I'm not following the instructions that God gives me. Yes. It doesn't matter whether we go and we build a church that has 1 million people. If I'm not following God's instructions to the letter, I failed. Success is in comparison with the instruction you are given. That's the truth. You've succeeded as an accountant because you are able to keep records. That's your job. If you cleaned your office sparkling white as an accountant, you still failed. How you know what I'm talking about? If you are meant to be a cleaner, but you are bringing customers to the company, they will praise you. But make sure that while you are bringing customers, you are at least succeeding as a cleaner. If not, you are failing. So follow instructions you are giving.
That is, some of us cannot serve effectively because there's going to be a rehearsal, there's going to be a meeting, be there by 4 p.m. Let me ask you a question. Which day are you ever going to come on time? Which day? Which year? Can someone make a commitment today and say from now till the next 6 months, no late coming for any event in church? Whether church or meeting or anything. Because the instruction says be there by this time. You should be there by that time.
Amen. If you can't follow instructions, you're not serving well. Then, number four, serve with joy. What did I say? I did not say everything is going to be fine. I say be joyful. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, we read that the disciples, the apostles, they went to preach. They were serving the Lord and they were beaten. They beat them and warned them. Look at that. They beat them and warned them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41, what did they do? And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Never let anything steal your joy in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you are serving without joy, you are soon going to stop. Serve the Lord excitedly. Serve the Lord joyfully. Oh, I like people that when they are cleaning church, they are singing. Not because they are pretending. They are just happy. It's not going to be sweet, but you have to serve the Lord joyfully. Knowing first of all that you are serving Him. Serving Him is a big privilege. Are you following me? Everybody must be so placed by 2 p.m. and you did not have money to go to be there. But you really want to be there. You want to trek. Listen, don't wake up by 1:45 and begin to trek and now come late by 3 p.m. and expect that we should all sympathize with you. Don't tell people now I trekked. Get up by 12. Trek joyfully. So how do I trek joyfully? Be happy. Pray in tongues. I trek praying in tongues, or I trekked praying in tongues. Okay? You walk like Korabashata joyfully. Why are you happy? It's even a privilege that I can trek for Jesus. Yeah. That's how I actually see it. It's a privilege. Growing up, I believe I was a very stubborn child. Very, very stubborn child. I think so. I know so. God help me. Growing up. So I can almost tell you that if God was going to choose the best of my people in my family to serve Him, it would not be me. I don't used to hear word at all. And I knew it. I was the kind of child that we argue with my dad. I said, Mr. I can ask them. I argued with him. He would stand up, rush to me, and hit me. If he hit me, I would still be talking. He said, keep quiet, I will still be talking. He said, I will still be talking. That's the best kind of child I was. Very interesting boy. Blessed. Glory to God. So if God was going to choose anybody I was going to use to preach, not to talk of leading a walk, it will not be me, sir. But He did. And so in doing that, things are not working well. I'm complaining. Lord, I'm serving, it's not working well. Were you even qualified to serve Him in the first place? You don't understand. I said church is the only place that employs people that are not qualified. A job, we need a PhD holder for the employee, a common entrance. Or first school living certificate holder. Or a no holder. Because some of us came in as no holders. No certificate. He picked the worst of us to use us for the best of His jobs. Think about that. So serve Him with joy. And I want to talk to you. If anything is trying to steal your joy, cast that in out. Cast offense out. Cast every pain out. Be joyful in your service of the Lord. Be joyful. Be joyful. And finally, I'm going to say, serve the Lord consistently. Don't stop. Serve forever. So how do I serve consistently? I'll give you four ways to serve consistently very quickly. Number one, be fully convinced of what you are doing. For instance, be convinced of your salvation. Be sure you are saved. Be convinced that God loves you. Be convinced, for instance, that God has a responsibility for you in the kingdom. Let nobody talk out of it. Be convinced. Be convinced also of your apostolic joint. I mean, be convinced of the church God wants you to join. Settle it in your heart that God wants you to be in this church. So that, you know, if you settle all these things,
in your heart. I'm sure God loved me. I'm sure God saved me. I'm sure he wants me to work for him. I'm sure he said I should be in this church. That's all. Why am I here forever? I know God wants me to pastor the church. I know it. You settle it in your heart. That's why you see a pastor, the church goes from 1,000 to about 30 people. He's still there pastoring. Sometimes from 100 people, everybody leaves because there's a problem, to 3 people. He's still there. Why? He is convinced that God wants him to do this job, whether there is crowd or not. That's how to serve. Be convinced that God wants you to do this. How else will you stay consistent? Be in the right associations. I say this all the time. Have the right friends. If you have friends who don't like what you are doing, it's a matter of time. You will stop doing what you are doing. There are no two ways about it. That's why I'm going to say something in passing. May God give you understanding. You should know how to choose your friends. And you should know when friendships should end. I won't say more than that. You should know how to choose your friends. And you should know when friendships should end. This will help you stay committed. This will help you stay long. Number 3. Second to the last thing. Learn to live by faith and how to trust God. The reason is because if you're going to serve God for long, you must learn how faith works. Because troubles of life will come to you. The reason why people stop serving God along the way is because I'm serving God and I'm not prospering. Whereas what they actually lack is just knowledge of the faith of God and how it works. If your finance is not working well, for instance, that's not why you should stop serving the Lord. What you should actually do is get to the word of God and find out why is it not working. Things not working well should not drive you far away from God. It should make you to learn how faith works. And hear me, friends, your faith works. And your faith will work. Things didn't work well for me for a very long time. And I didn't stop. What I just did was, what is the missing? I know God is good. I know he called me to do this work. I know I'm doing everything right. Then what is off? I began to study the scriptures. I began to ask questions and pray. And God showed me. And I began to live and walk by faith. And things began to change. So when things are not moving well, that's not when to stop. That is where to learn how faith works. You want to serve the Lord forever? Learn how faith works. Because when people that, let me tell you, 70% of people that have stopped serving God, stopped serving him because things went bad for them. Have you seen such people? Let me share this story with you. I have 10 minutes. And I'm keeping to it. Don't worry. Let me share this story with you. When we started, some of you know this story. When we started, I started serving the Lord as a very young person. Very, very young person. I mean, as young as 14, 15 years. Well, I'm not talking about, I didn't say I became born again. I started serving God, going for missions. Serving in church, leading things as a young boy. SS2. Doing all of that. Now, and it wasn't only me. We were many. We were many. We belonged to a group then. And glory to God for that group. That group trained us to serve God. To love God. They didn't have it all as per knowledge. No. But then we prayed. Ah, God, Jesus Christ. That group, we teach you that. We prayed though. There are times we it's not the kind of prayer people are praying now. We prayed. We prayed some assault. We prayed different kinds of prayers. And it helped us. And all of us had some mantras. Things like from everywhere to everywhere. Ministry forever. From Nigeria to the ends of the earth. The thing about it is, if we were 100, not up to 30 are still in active ministry. Can I say this to you? Out of that 70, about 60 of them left because the cares of this world came upon them. How to survive. How to make it. I get what I'm saying. Which will come to everybody. So if you don't master how faith works, it's a matter of time. The gifts of this world will come strongly on you. And you just say, guy, I got to make up. This is what I'm talking about. But hear me, friends. Faith works. The word of God works. God can change your life. He can change your story. He can change your life financially. He can move you from tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands. He can move you to hundreds of millions. He can move you to billions. He can and he will. Just walk with him and master how his faith works. So when things are not moving well, And let me even say to some of you, if this is an unbelievable, well, stop complaining. Some of you are just at a state in your life. Able to pass through this stage. And I told my pastor something. You see something is moving well for Pastor Henry, don't envy me. And don't envy anybody, because we are different stages of our life. Some are in their sowing season, some are in their harvest season. And even people that are in their harvest season today are still sowing for their next season. There are things you are seeing today that were products of the prayers we prayed yesterday, prayer conversions we made yesterday, givings that we did yesterday, the days we emptied our accounts without knowledge. I've emptied my account for ministry for more than 10 times. I mean, clear everything. So when you see the Lord bringing resources, that's what I'm saying. Pastors that are eating our money. Let me say this to you. If you want to have our account, financial record, come and ask for it. Come and ask for it. Money doesn't go to pastor, sir. Have you ever seen my account number on this screen? It says, sir, we know all of you can collect from the back. You are irredeemable. So forget it. This is not about, because that's the point. You see something working. Instead of checking how does this thing work, you are complaining. Why is it not working for me? Everything is fake that is saving us. Learn how faith works. So that what was meant to take you away from your work with God will strengthen you. So that as these students, you don't understand what I'm talking about faith and finances until you graduate. You stop getting allowance. I get what I'm saying. So begin to master faith. Begin to master it. I like the person I gave testimony about. You know, normally, when you share testimonies here, I don't mention figures on stage. Have you observed? But I left that figure there. That testimony passed through my mail. I left the figure when he said $150. I left it for a reason. Okay? That's the reason I left it. Because this how it works is, you might not faith today and faith 10 billion. Stop trying to do that. You're just wasting your faith. Start trusting God. Study what you've taught. Trust Him for 100K. You can't be earning 2,000 and one day I say, I'm going to trust God for 10 billion. How is it going to work? Trust Him for 100K. Trust Him for 500,000. Trust for 1 million. Just like that. You know, somebody, yesterday night, somebody sent me a message, one of our members here, and telling that I know when this girl was in third year when she was, and I think I mean on your final year something. Yes. And I graduated. I know when there was nothing to eat. I know when there was no place to live. And she said to me, said, the Lord has instructed me and I'm doing it this morning. I'm giving my first 1 million naira. You can imagine the joy that brought to me as a pastor. Not because the money is big, but the joy is in the process. I was part of the process. Seeing this person grow from giving 5,000, from borrowing transport to come to church. God changes people. And that's just the beginning. See this one from Boeing to come to church. You know, somebody was saying, some people say, you know, I think it was Pastor telling me that some of his friends were telling him, that people's pastor, he has taken people to where they used to go and make it. And he told them, yes, this is where we used to make it. Everybody has where they used to make their own. We make our own here. So let God help you. Instead of running away from Him, saying, I won't serve Him again, it's not working well. Press deeper into Him. Because that is a level you begin to get to in life, you know you need spiritual powers. You either use God or devil. But you know devil. Trust God. I get the point. I'm trusting that in the coming years, people will look at you and say, is it not this person we know? How did your life change like this? When we are in school, you are not the most intelligent too. Wait, this is your house. Wait, this is your car. Guys, show us where now. You say, Sunday service, 8 a.m. That is the way. You can boldly tell people, God brought me here. I didn't compromise. I didn't even stop serving Him. You see that way you know me carrying church in my head when I was in the university. That's how I am still today. And God did not fail me. That's your testimony. I still serve God like that. I still spend hours in church. I still hear God's word for long. I still do my spirit coco. I still do Rebecca. I have not stopped doing any of them. As a matter of fact, that's what brought me here. Matter how faith works. As I was already standing, I make the last point.
If you want to last, be actively involved in ministry. Don't take breaks. That's always been my stand. Don't take breaks. My dad put something on Facebook and I like it. He said, you can take breaks in ministry, but you should never take breaks from ministry. What is taking breaks in ministry? For instance, a pastor can decide he will take 3 days off to rest. For instance, December periods like this, you notice we close the year quite early here, somewhere in the middle of the month, and I ask all our church workers, church staff, just go rest. You can rest. Nothing wrong with resting. After programs like this, I recommend that you rest. You see, it's okay to do that, but never take breaks from ministry. Never say, I'll stop doing this ministry until when I'm ready. It takes a lot to come back after you've taken breaks. Even psychologically. Never stop serving the Lord. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the service of the Lord. For you know that your labor of love is not in vain. Friends, this is the whole duty of man. This is what God wants us to do forever. And we are glad we are doing it. Lift your hands. I will worship him forever. Love him.
This God is too good.
Yes. I will worship. See, come on.
I will worship him forever. Love.
This one more time. I will worship, sing.
I will worship forever. Love him forever, because this God is too good.
Hallelujah. So we're not going to pray today. We'll pray the Lord through the weekend. Let me use the opportunity to say, because of what I taught on today, let me use the opportunity to appreciate all our workers in Platform of Grace. Whenever you walk into this church is working because of our workers. And we want to celebrate you. And if you are new here, this is not a place you can call our workers church rant. Our workers, our ministers here, are not useless people. Okay? They have money. All these people I'm saying that gave 1 million, 2 million, they are from my workers. They are always in church every day. So they are not serving because they are useless or they don't have anything with their life. And it's like that across all the centers. Our workers are productive. Razor fact held because some people made it hold. This service is holding this morning because some people made it hold. And I want to celebrate all the workers, leaders, ministers of the Center Platform Church. I'd like you to know that I love you and God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.